Good evening, everyone. You all hear me? Okay, welcome to our prayer meeting. It's good to have you all join us. Let's commit this time to God in prayer before we listen to the word and come together in prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your presence. We want to thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you that you are a God who is faithful and true. Dear Lord, even as we look at your word, let our hearts be filled with joy. Let us be encouraged to know that you are a good God. We pray that your presence will fill our hearts. You will speak to us. You know where we are. You know what we are facing. You know what we need, dear God. And we pray that you would open our eyes to your love, to your wisdom, to your presence. Lead this time, dear Lord, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we are continuing with the book of Samuel. We have a few more chapters to finish. And let me read the scripture text for today. So the sermon text is taken from Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 29. 1 Samuel chapter 29, the entire chapter. Up to verse 11. Okay. The Philistines gathered all their forces at Aphek, and Israel camped by the spring in Jezreel. As the Philistine rulers marched with their units of hundreds and thousands, David and his men were marching at the rear with Achish. The commanders of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul's king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year, and from that day he left Saul until now, I have found no fault in him." But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send the man back, that he may return to the place you assigned him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the hits of our own men? Isn't this David? Isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." So Achish called David and said to him, "As surely as the Lord lives, you have been reliable, and I would be pleased to have you serve with me in the army. From the day you came to me until today, I have found no fault in you, but the rulers don't approve of you. Now turn back and go in peace. Do nothing to displease the Philistine rulers." "But what have I done?" asked David. "What have you found against your servant from the day I came to you until now? Why can't I go and fight against the enemies of my lord, the king?" Achish answered, "I know that you have been as pleasing in my eye as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the Philistine commanders have said, he must not go up with us into battle. Now get up early along with your master's servants who have come with you and leave in the morning as soon as it is light." So David and his men got up early in the morning to go back to the land of Philistines. And the Philistines went on to Jezreel. Okay, so we have this situation here and where Israel, where the Philistines are marching against Israel. As you look at the slide, to recap what has been happening, David has moved to live among the Philistines. He has formed an alliance with King Achish, and King Achish gave him a city to live in. And the next chapter, 28 tells us about Saul's desperate moments where he employed a witch to call Samuel. And right before that event, Achish already was telling David, "Now you're with me. Eventually, we are going to fight against Israel. And will you fight with me?" Okay. Then the story switches over to Saul, the witch, and Samuel. And then chapter 29 is what we'll see today, how Achish sends David back to Ziklag. In chapter 30, David destroys the Amalekites, and in chapter 31, Saul takes his life. So what you can see here is David's deliverance from Saul is coming very soon. In fact, he spent almost 1.5 years with the Philistines. And but David has taken things into his hands, and he now finds himself in a difficult situation, as you have seen in the text. So let's track and see what got David here. I think one important verse that we saw, chapter 27, was what David said to himself. But David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul. The best thing I can do is to escape to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will give up searching for me everywhere in Israel, and I will slip out of his hand. So David and the 600 men with him left and went to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. So David thought to himself, one of these days I will be destroyed. It's a kind of statement where some people would put it this way. One of these days, my luck will run out. Okay, things are not going to happen. Things are going to go bad and sour. And if you think about the statement, David is actually saying, in spite of God's promises and assurances, Saul will kill David. And David will not be the king God anointed him to be. Saul's relentless pursuit has got to David. He has tried to convince King Saul that he was not a threat to him, but Saul kept pursuing him. And we understand that because Saul was jealous and very insecure about his power and idolized his power. And therefore, you know, he wanted David dead. And because of the endless pursuit, the running, the hiding, David came to a place of despair. Okay, and despair has set in into the hearts of David. And you can see the first statement that his thoughts, his self-talk clearly shows that he sees no hope here. He has to run away. And as we have noted in chapter 27, we notice that the narrator tells us that there was no praying, no seeking of the Lord. Unlike the previous chapters when David would face difficulty, he would seek the Lord. But here, it was just him and his thoughts and all the things that was going through his mind as he recollected all that has happened, okay, since he has been anointed to be the king of Israel. So this despair took hold of him, and he began to run to the Philistines and took refuge in that place. And we must think about this, because this is not something new to us. We have faced moments of despair, okay? And we have faced some moments where we think that, you know, people can't change, things can't change, God is not doing anything. And like the situation, perhaps some of the situations we face, there was no hope, humanly speaking. Perhaps there's a illness, there's a challenge, and there is no power here on earth that can rectify it. And therefore, despair can set in. And here, David, knowing that Saul was in control, was in power, he realized that there was no way out. Okay, humanly speaking, you know, and Saul has got close to him and chased him down, and people were informing on him. And therefore, you know, the one person who realized that his faith was not built on human possibilities suddenly had his eyes fixed on the limitations of being human, of what we can do as people. And the same thing can happen to us. We can forget that the God whom we serve is not human. It is not, he's not bound by human rules and regulations. He's supernatural. He's above all things. And we should look to him for that miracle, for that deliverance, for the things that we cannot do for ourselves. We must look to God to carry us through even the most challenging and difficult situations where we don't have the strength required. We don't have the skill, the resources needed for this that situation. God can provide, God can heal, God can deliver. All we need to do is to ask and to look to him. Okay, but here we see David has left God. All right, and he's gone in off track, off tangent. And now in the story, we begin to see how, even though David has left God out, you know, even though this was a godless season, it never ends God's work. And God was still in charge, and God was still doing what he wanted to do in the life of David. So when you look at the slides there, some of these questions, were there times in your life where you believed that God would not act? Been overwhelmed to a point where you found it hard to pray and believe for deliverance? Okay, and what can we do when we begin to despair? Okay, and the first thing that we should remember is that, you know, when you hit those moments, which you will, and when you have those difficult times, don't keep God out, okay, and don't keep others, you know, people whom you trust, who you know, who have been trusted and proven counselors, don't keep them out. Always find strength in the word of God. When the wrong self-talk starts to fill your mind, when you start saying things that project despair, hopelessness, and desperation, then look for a word, a promise. Remember what God has spoken to you to keep you on track. And of course, speak to others, wise counselors, godly people can help you shift your perspective, can stand with you. And most of all, guard your self-talk, okay? And turn it into prayers. And there are times, occasions where David would do it. And we see those prayers in the book of Psalms, where he would tell his God of his desperate situation, of how he's so depressed and lowly and cast out, and how everything is not how it should be. But as he prayed, as he sought God, he began to experience God as his deliverer, as his shepherd, as his Lord who guides him. And you must ask yourself, you know, what do you think God, you know, is doing, you know, the times that you have kept him out of your life, okay? And it's clearly here, God is waiting for you. God is waiting for you to knock, to seek, to come to him, all right? And God is still there in the background, carrying you, sending you signals, and, you know, again, keep nudging you towards him through the circumstances that you're facing. So our God is true, and he loves us, and we must be mindful that, yes, we will face seasons of despair, but we must know that our God never fails us, and his promises are true. So we begin to see that, you know, the armies of the Philistines marched out with great numbers to mount an attack against Israel. So David had made some bad choices. Now he's with the Philistines. So David was in a very strange place. All right. Okay. You know, David was not in Israel defending the armies of Israel. He was not taking on the roles that he used to take, you know, as the future king of Israel. Rather, he was marching behind King Achish. Okay. And is this the place that, you know, God wanted David to be, you know, with the future king of Israel, march with the Philistines against the Israelites? So as you see the arrow, I mean, you can see the movement that this despair and desperation and perhaps, you know, some amount of cynicism has led David to. At one point, he was full of hope. And when he saw this huge giant Goliath challenging God, he would rise and he would take up the challenge and he would fight, you know, in spite of being just a shepherd boy. And after that battle, immediately he would lead the armies of Israel successfully against the Philistines. All right. Every battle, every time he would lead an attack, he would come back successfully. And then from there, you know, now suddenly he's taking refuge with the Philistines by pretending to be an ally. Well, the first time he took refuge in Gath, you know, at least that was out of fear, and he tried to hide in that city and he pretended to be mad, okay? But here it's very different. He went straight to King Achish and made a deal and said, all right, I'll be with you. You just give me a place to stay. All right. And now, you know, the man who led the armies of Israel against the Philistines, the champion of Israel, where women sang, is now marching behind the king of Philistines. Okay. And the reason that I put up this chart, you can see how things can get so wrong and how when how despair, when it sets in, can change our perspective of life entirely. And we start shifting sides and we start believing things that we used to not believe, and we lose hope and courage to face things as we used to. Okay, it slowly sets things, and that's what the world does. You know, it kind of slowly sows the seeds of despair within our hearts, giving us statements that, you know, that nobody will change, nothing will happen, nobody cares, you know, all you do, no one knows, no one cares, and statements of that kind, where slowly you will be shifting, and you know, your thoughts, your feelings, and you will say, well, I just have to do what the rest of the world does to survive. Okay, so suddenly David finds himself in the wrong side of God's plan. And then the other thing that we have to pay attention to, these were the final words of Samuel to Saul, okay? And this takes place in chapter 28. So let me read it to you. The Lord will deliver both Israel and you into the hands of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also give the army of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Okay. So what's happening here is God had already warned Saul because of his sin and rebellion that the kingdom will be torn apart from him and be given to another. And there was a long period of time, so many years for Saul to repent, but he was cynical. He had given up hope. He was worldly and he didn't want to change. And what we see here is that this whole attack that the Philistines are planning is God's doing. It is the Philistines, like in many other cases in the Old Testament, the Philistines is God's agent of judgment. God was going to use the Philistines to judge Saul and the armies of Israel. Okay. And this battle will mark the end of Saul's reign. Okay, and it also would mean David would be free from Saul's threats, and he would no longer need to be a fugitive running and trying to save his life. This would also open a path for David to be the next king of Israel as promised by God. So God was clearly in control of the whole thing. But what was David doing here? You know, it seems like he's getting in a way rather than helping God, okay, because he's marching against Israel. So there is two options David can do, okay. The first thing, of course, he could actually join the Philistines and fight against the Israelites, but that choice would be highly unlikely. Looking at David's record and David's deception, it's clear that he is not honest about his alliance with King Achish. And it's clear also that he will not raise his hand against the Lord anointed. So most probably David was thinking of something else, and most likely that David would David's plan was to attack the Philistines during the heat of the battle. Okay. But let's say if David did do that, again, he would be working against the plan of God simply because God had already handed the Israelites into the hands of the Philistines. All right. You know, God does not want Israel to win. And David doesn't see this whole thing. And so when David took matters into his own hands, he instead of working with God, he is an obstruction to God's work. And that can happen to us when we don't see God, the things of God, the way he sees it. I think one very well-known story in the New Testament, as you look at a slide, is the story of Peter. you know, when Jesus explained to his disciples that he had to suffer and he would die in the hands of the unbelievers and rise again. And it says here, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, this shall never happen to you." But Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. Okay, you are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the conscience of God, but merely human conscience." And then Jesus speaks, you know, and says that whoever wants to be a disciple must deny himself and follow me. And the thing is, yes, David's path to kingship is marked with struggles and troubles, you know, and persecution and challenges. The same with us. And the scripture again and again tells us that we will find comfort and strength in the Lord. And the victory is already given to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The scripture invites us to endure and stand firm with God. But the moment we stop enduring, the moment we form alliances with the world, the moment we try to erase the whole story of suffering and sacrifice, then we actually become a stumbling block to the things of God. Okay, and that's what we must be very mindful of. I also remember the many times I wanted to give up myself when I faced difficulty and challenges, and I told myself, well, I don't want to do anything, okay? But there is no such place where you don't do anything. You end up doing something, and most of the time without God, you end up doing something that is not helpful to the work of God. So we have to be mindful of this. And then the whole act of deception and treachery and betrayal. So let's say if David did take that path, would that really speak well of David himself? This would lead to a lot of distrust. Okay. And this would definitely create a lot of problems in the life of David, perhaps even come in a way of his kingship. And of course, we know the later story of betrayal and treachery, the story of Bathsheba, that caused so much problems to David. And that led to his dynasty being, because of that act, his dynasty was plagued by treachery and betrayal. Okay, and one day we will look at that story. So that's the thing. Okay, so David, you know, because he was without hope, he went to King Achish and he deceived King Achish by flattering him in a way by saying that, you know, I'm loyal to you. And he pretended that he was fighting, you know, against Israel, raiding the villages of Israel when he was actually raiding the other tribes there. And he was committing violent acts to keep the news of what he was really doing from reaching to King Achish. So he was actually killing people. And what we can see here is David is violent and he has taken that path. And much of the violence here is unnecessary. Pretty much like the story of Nabal, you know, David would jump into conclusions and get angry and act in a way that is violent. In that case, God used Abigail to save him from taking things into his own hands. Okay. And you find here, Achish was not a wise king. And when he heard David, when he heard the story, wow, David has left King Saul and has come to him. He was so taken up by what David has done. And when David told him, fed him with the right stories, and he said, wow, you know, now David has been creating his own people. His own people will hate him. He has nowhere to go. He's a stench to his own people. So now he's in our side. Okay. So I've written this down, and I do want you to note, you know, deception often preys on the weaknesses and desires of the people. Okay. All right. It portrays a false picture to earn the trust and approval of others. And this was what David was doing here in this story. And he was playing that game, you know, appearances, deception. Okay, and that's what happens when you lose hope and you become cynical. The chances of you doing those things increases. Fortunately, there was wisdom in the ranks of Saul. His captains reacted. The commanders of the Philistines asked, "What about these Hebrews?" Achish replied, "Is this not David, who was an officer of Saul's, king of Israel? He has already been with me for over a year, and from that day he left Saul until now. I found no fault in him." But the Philistine commanders were angry with Achish and said, "Send the man back that he may return to the palace, place he assigned to him. He must not go with us into battle, or he will turn against us during the fighting. How better could he regain his master's favor than by taking the head of our own men?" Isn't this the David they sang about in their dances? Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Okay. So the kings were wise. They warned King Achish and they gave very solid reasons. So the first reason was, you know, what are the Hebrews doing here? Isn't it kind of strange that we are marching against the Israelites with 600 Israelite soldiers behind our back? Okay. That is not a safe thing to do. Okay. All right. And that's true enough. And then the other thing, you know, David has switched sides because it was an advantage to him. Would you not also switch sides, since, you know, doing this would gain, you know, would lead him to gain favor from Saul? Okay, so if he has betrayed once, you know, doing this again is simple. And then they mentioned the song, and he said David once enjoyed the love and adulation of the people of Israel. Okay, when he led them on his missions against the Philistines, our own very own people, wouldn't David seek to build on this reputation and seek such praises again? All right, so they did not want to take any risk. Okay, and they told Achish, you know, they were angry and said, "You must send him back. Okay, he cannot come and fight with us." I think it's so important for us to understand that there is wisdom in this world. You know, there are people who are wise, who are able to do things and develop themselves and grow and be successful, you know, in their businesses, in their rulings and so forth. Okay, it's not just, you know, the skill sets and the understanding does exist in this world. All right. And even in this story, we see wisdom portrayed in different ways, okay? And I'm not just talking about godly wisdom, I'm talking about the skill sets, the understanding, the ability to read people. So in a sense, yes, you know, David's wisdom leans towards more to cunning and deceit and he's manipulative, okay? Whereas the captains were discerning and thoughtful. But what godly wisdom is all about is the ability to know the Lord and represent his will, okay, which all of them lacked, and sadly David. Okay, so God was gracious to David, and in his grace he spared David from a very difficult situation, you know, instead of doing something stupid and acting treacherously, David was sent back and David was spared. Okay, and there are very important things also. He was kept from the place where God was going to judge Saul. Okay, so David would have no association of any kind with what God was going to do in that battle during that time. Okay, and that's the thing. We must understand that when we seek God, God helps us. And when we look to God, perhaps we may not fully understand the challenges and the suffering we face, but like the previous stories of David, and even as you recollect the many occasions in your own life, God has healed, God has delivered, God has spoken to each one of you and showed you what to do and how to work through the situation. And perhaps there were moments, you know, God was just present in your life in such a way that you were strong enough to endure the many challenges that you face. Of course, there are some things that we do not fully know and comprehend. Ultimately, you know, there is a wisdom that only belongs to God, but we can trust God, you know, that with that wisdom, simply because we can be fully assured that he will act consistently with his character. Okay, God knows what he's doing, and even though he does not explain to us and or give us the details of his plans and his actions, but we can rest fully assured that those plans are good, and that plans will lead to the end that he has prepared for us, the future with Christ, because there is no deceit in God. There are a couple of Bible verses that I'd like to read to you that is found here. It says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So God's ways is not our ways, but what remains true is what God says, his word, it never changes. And then in Jeremiah 9:23 says, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. Let the one who boasts about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Okay, and these are amazing verses to meditate on. And as we spoke about despair, we do have to remember what God says about his love. And his love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And God has granted us his love. And therefore, yes, there are moments we may walk away. And as in this story, God was kind enough to bring David back. You know, even though David did not know what he was doing, and he was walking in a treacherous place, God led him back, and David came back into God's plan, and God is merciful to us in that way. But again, we also must be mindful, you know, that these things can turn us away from God, as how it turned Saul and many other people away from God. And we should always be mindful that our God loves us and he can be trusted. And his wisdom, the wisdom that belongs to him, should belong to him. Okay. We should honor and revere him as the God who knows all things and be satisfied knowing that he loves us and cares for us. So the prayer items are here. The first item is God will deliver us from despair. Okay, and let's pray. I know in many situations, even during this pandemic, and perhaps some of you are facing certain challenges, or there is some despair about certain things in your life, you know, to come before the Lord and pray, and let's believe for healing and encouragement and doors to open. We pray that we will guard our hearts and not indulge in ungodly self-talk, okay? But we will be careful on how we use wisdom and understanding that God has given us. Right, not in a deceitful or cunning way, not in the context of worldliness, you know, or cynicism, but rather, you know, under the guidance and leading of our God. And we will revere the Lord, trusting his word and growing in our knowledge of him. That's the best way to revere the Lord, to know him as he has revealed himself to us and through his word. So there are the other prayer items that's down the list. Again, I'll pray first, and I want to encourage all of you, whether long or short prayers, do pray. You know, I do believe that all of us are blessed when more people pray, and we all are encouraged in this. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you for who you are. We do want to admit, dear Lord, that there are moments that we ourselves struggle with despair. Dear God, things do get hard in this world, and some of us have face some very difficult situation, or perhaps there's an area of relationship in our life that we have been praying for such a long time and nothing has happened, nothing has changed, dear God. Dear Lord, we come before you. We pray that these experiences, these situations will not change our thoughts of you. It will not challenge our faith in such a way that we begin to lose sight of you, where we begin to take things into our own hands. Dear Lord, we know we can do a lot of things, but we also know when we do take things into our hands, the results is not as satisfying as the answers that come from you. The deliverance is not the same as the one that comes from your hand. In fact, these things, taking things into our own hands, only brings us greater grief and leads us into other problems, dear Lord. Dear Lord, we also know that there will never be a situation that we can truly say we have delivered ourselves through the strength of our hands, dear Lord. Because as your people, we know that there is no human power that can deliver us except you, Lord, the God of heaven and earth. So let us be a people of faith. Let us put our trust in you. Let us believe that you are the sovereign God who holds everything in your hands, that you are the all-powerful God, and that you are in control. Let us believe, dear Lord, that the path that you have chosen for us, the things that you are leading us through, the things that you have given us, you have given us with great wisdom and great thought, knowing how you are going to use these events and the things that we possess, experiences that we go through, to shape us and to teach us about your Son, Jesus Christ, to help us to learn how to rely on your wisdom and your grace, to be filled by the Spirit rather than the things of this world. So God, let us trust you. The same way your Son trusted you and embraced the cross, and you lifted him out of the grave on the third day. Dear God, we can trust you. We can trust you. So speak to our hearts, dear Lord. Break the powers of negativity, despair in our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you. We continue to lift our church into your hands. We pray for the Passion Week, that as we, the churches across the country, the world, reflect on your death, on your resurrection, on the significance of the gospel. We pray that there will be a mighty renewing of hearts and that you would pour out your Spirit, Lord, as people throughout the whole world are fasting and praying and seeking your face and are looking at you, dear Lord. Come fill our hearts again, dear Lord. Come anoint your people. Let us rise with hope. Let us proclaim that Christ has risen, that he has defeated death, that we have life in him, dear Lord. Let us experience that life, the springs of life, dear Lord, in as we look to you, dear God. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you prepare our hearts, that you stir our faith, that we will come before you with faith, with expectation, dear Lord, believing that you are good and you will, Lord, speak to us. We pray, Father, that you continue to be with this nation, dear Lord. There is so many issues, and dear Lord, we pray as in regards to the governance and we will not reach a point of despair, but we will trust you to do your work. We will trust you to show us what we need to do as your people. We will trust you to raise the right people to keep evil from overwhelming us, dear Lord. We will trust you to bring, Lord, justice and mercy, Lord. We will trust you, Lord, to bring racial reconciliation. Dear Lord, we pray that we will find our place at your feet, that we will do what you have called us to do, that we will pray relentlessly, that we will pursue you relentlessly, dear Lord, that we will put our hope in you, dear God, and that we would, Lord, accept and live the life, Lord, that you've called us to live, Lord. We pray, Father, that we will believe in the power of the church to be your witness, dear God, that you have poured your spirit into our hearts, that we are your people and we have your presence with us, dear God, and that it is the Holy Spirit that will convict others of who you are, dear Lord. So let us, Lord, come, let us pray, let us believe. We pray, dear God, that you would speak to everyone, Lord Father, and that you would do a mighty work of renewal in our lives, dear God. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together in your name. Bless, Lord, each of us. Continue to bless us throughout the week. Keep us, Lord, in your love, in your grace. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.